Let's look today at the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a Bible story here that has been told in Sunday school classes down through the years. Beginning with verse number 1, 2 Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my sons to be bondmen." Uh-huh. Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" And before she could answer, he said, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, comma, save a pot of oil." Yeah. Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee and upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." He said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Preaching today a message with this title, "As Long as There Is a Vessel." Yeah. As long as there is a vessel. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. I've been preaching since 1966. I am 71 years old, so you can do the math. I never did do well in math or any other subject except recess for that matter. But I got out of school. So you do the math today. I've been preaching since 1966. And in that time, myself as well as probably hundreds of other ministers and preachers have preached sermons, given talks in Sunday school class by the hundreds and hundreds. Sermons have been preached from this text. Wouldn't you say so? Yes. It's a popular text. It's a great one to preach from. In fact, it is so rich with material that's well worth a preacher's time and attention. If you're a preacher today, you might take a note and you'll wind up with something to preach from this story. The sons of the prophets, there was a prophet school, and young men would come from far and near and study the way to be a prophet. Right. How to work in the things of God. And one of these young men married, had children, and times got tough. Money got scarce. More month than they had money. You ever been there? It's not fun. So he worked and served the Lord till he died. Left her and her two sons. And he left her with some unpaid debts, bills. And she had no means to pay them. So the creditors came, and instead of repossessing the house and the automobile, they didn't have automobiles, but she had two sons. He said, I'll make a deal with you. No, I won't make a deal with you. I'm going to take these two boys. And when you bring the money, when you're able to pay the debt, you can have your boys back. Now, I know some little boys that have been mean enough that mama might not even try to pay the debt. Don't raise your hand, mama. Don't say amen too loud, because they may be close by. But this lady was in a great strait. She was in a tough spot. She realized that her husband had been a young preacher and a young prophet, and she knew that Elisha was a prophet and Elijah was a prophet, and so she went to the right place for help. And she just told Elisha like it was. The creditors have come. They've come to take my two sons as payment for this unsatisfied debt that we have. And I need a way. I need an answer. I need a supplies chain. I need a revenue stream. I need something, some way that I can get my boys back. Going to stop right here and tell you and I today that there is a creditor in our world. He thinks we owe him everything. I said he thinks we owe him everything. Parents, he thinks you owe him your children. He thinks he's got a handle on your children. There's a lien on your kids. He thinks he owns them. And the creditor will come and take your children. They'll take your children through ungodly means. Certain school activities should not be attended. Certain things should not be read. Certain actions should not be allowed, because there is a creditor. I said there is a creditor that wants your children. There is a creditor that is after your young'uns. The best thing you can do is make sure they never ask the question, are we going to church tonight? I grew up in a home where you didn't ask on Wednesday night, are we going to have to go to church tonight? We knew when we got off the school bus on Wednesday afternoon. I knew that my job as a 14-year-old kid, young preacher, my job was to get off the school bus and go to the church and crawl between the pews and pick up all the Kleenexes and the Juicy Fruit wrappers and dirty diapers. I knew that's what I had to do. So I didn't even ask. I just went ahead, went to the sanctuary, and I'd get on my knees at the back row, and I'd have me a little bathroom, trash can, and I would slide that bathroom trash can between those rows of pews, picking up Kleenexes and getting mad as a hornet. I couldn't believe folks would deface the house of God like that. I couldn't believe somebody would drop a piece of paper on the sanctuary floor and walk out and leave it. Oh, no, no, no. You didn't do that in the house of God. No, you didn't. Is this okay if I preach like this? I'm just trying to get my motor running. When I get my motor running, I may get back up there. If y'all got greens on the stove at home, I hope you got on an automatic timer so you can turn them off. I knew that my job was to go to the church and clean it. So I'd get on the floor in the back and I'd start making my way up front and I'd get mad at folks. And then about midway through the middle of the sanctuary, on my knees crawling, I'd get to crying and repenting because I got mad at God's people. I'd forgive them, pick up their trash, forgive them, and I'd cry my way all the way to the front of the pew. And by the time I got up here, I was in a spirit of worship, and I was just learning how to play music. I was just then learning how to play piano and organ. So I'd ease my way to the piano, and I'd sit there and play for another hour. I'd slip over to the organ, and I'd play some more music over there for a while until I got nervous about missing supper. And I would leave and go back to the house. So when I went to church on Wednesday night, I'd already had 2 hours. But Rachel knows with Papa Wilson, you didn't escape an hour any time. He's going to preach an hour. If he stood up there, he's going to preach an hour. He went to a fellowship meeting. Anybody ever been to a fellowship meeting? Four of us. Amen. We're all old enough. Four of us been to a fellowship meeting. In those fellowship meetings, every preacher in the house got to preach 5 minutes. And sure as shooting, some of them didn't know when to stop. Their 5 minutes lasted 20. So in the fellowship meeting one night, my dad was in the back of the crowd and folks was preaching. They'd stop and let somebody else up. Come on up, Brother Wilson. They said, come on up and preach a little bit. Yeah. My daddy stood up in the back and said, I'm sorry, but I'm not a little bit preacher. So I knew that on Wednesday night, it wasn't going to be no little bit preaching. It wasn't going to be no little bitty sermonette that made Christianettes. No, no. It's going to be the full load. It's going to be the full message. And I knew better than sit down at the table for supper and say, are we going to go to church tonight? You just didn't ask because you knew you was going to. Two times on Sunday, once on Wednesday night. Revival 5, 6, 7 nights a week. Excuse me for a moment. Let me rant. COVID put a number on the church. COVID did a number on good church folks. Because we stopped having church. And now that we've got it happening again, folks said, well, I don't need quite as much as I used to. Somebody said, y'all better get him on the road. It's going to be a long day if I don't hurry. I'm talking about the creditor. The creditor wants your family. The creditor wants your children. She said, I got to have an answer. I've got to have an answer. My sons are gone. He's taking my children away from me. And Elisha asked her two questions. He said, what shall I do for thee? What shall I do for you? And then he said, what hast thou in the house? Elisha wanted some specific information. Let me tell you something, children, saints of God. God works better when specifics are known. Did you hear me? God works better when when he knows the specifics. Well, I know what you're thinking. Well, God knows everything. Yes, he does. He knows everything about it. He knew about those three hairs that I didn't get parted on the side this morning. But when you got bifocals on, you have to take them off so that you can comb your hair. And, you know, you're left to the... God works better with specifics. What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee? Elisha wants to know if she has anything that she can do. Says, is there anything that you can help me with here? Can you help remedy this situation? You got $5? You got $5? And what can you help me with here? And her initial response to the question, what hast thou in thy house? Because of the trauma of this situation, because of the urgency of this situation, it caused her to forget something momentarily. And when he said, what hast thou in thine house? She said, nothing. Don't be too quick. Don't be too quick to say nothing. Don't be too quick to write off what God wants to do for you. What hast thou in thine house? She said nothing. But all of a sudden she scratched her head and remembered something. Oh, I remember. I've got a small pot of oil. I've just got a little bit of oil. You may think everything's hopeless. You may think you've reached the end of your rope. You may think that everything about your life has gone backwards. You may think that God has nothing to work with. But as sure as you were able to get up this morning, as sure as you were able to draw those breaths enough to get you up out of bed, help you get yourself clothed and in your right mind, as sure as you were able to make your way to the house of God to worship with God's people, hallelujah, it is not hopeless. You haven't reached the end of your rope yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She felt like it was hopeless. She felt like it was hopeless. I have nothing to work with. Then she said, I do have a little bit of, I've got a little bit of oil. Everybody has something that God can use. Everybody has something that God can use. And I'm going to show you why I know that. It's not a guessing game with me. I know that God has something that he can use in you. And the way I know it is the word of God tells us that he hath given to every man. Now let's make sure we quote right, okay? He didn't say a measure of faith. But it says God hath given to every man the measure of faith. The measure. If he had said a measure, that would have signified that he could have given you a bigger measure than he did you, and a bigger measure than he did you, and you, and you, and you, and you. But when God said through his word that he hath given to every man the measure of faith, let me ask you a simple question. How many inches is in a yard? In a yard. 36. 36 inches in a yard. How many inches are in a foot? 12 inches in a foot. Why ask such crazy questions? Because I want to establish the fact that these are standardized measures. So, if I was a carpenter and I asked you to go cut me a board that was a foot long, if you brought me a board that was 13 inches long, yeah. You would have missed the measure. You would have missed the measurement. Well, it's almost a foot. Yeah, but it's an inch too long. You're not going to get that board that needed an inch or 12-inch piece. You're not going to get that 13-inch one to fit in there.
That's right.
You're going to have to recut.
That's right.
God hath given to every man the measure of faith. It's a standardized measure. And so when you say that God has nothing to work with in you, you better obey the word of the Lord. You better look at the word again. You need to read that verse again. He hath given to every man the measure of faith. What you got in your house, lady? I've got a little oil. You know what? It was a measure of faith. Wasn't a measure of hope. He didn't give us a measure of joy. He gave us a measure of faith. Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Now that wasn't James talking to Peter. That wasn't Andrew. That wasn't Luke. That wasn't Bartholomew. That was Jesus. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I know what you got, Peter. I know the measure that I gave you, Peter. I know what I put in you. I know what you started with. Oh, when you was catching fish on the boat, I knew what I put in you. When you started following me back 3 years ago, I knew what I had in you. I knew what I had placed inside of you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't give up too quickly on what God wants to do for you. Because he wants to take your measure. Hey, let's put it like this. God is looking for a starting point. I said, God is looking for a starting point. So I asked you, what have you got in your house? This house is our fleshly tabernacle. This is our fleshly home. What have you got in there? What have you got in you that God can use to bring about the miraculous situation that you need right now? Anybody in need of a miracle? Anybody in need of God to do something for you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I see hands all over this place. There's an important point for you to understand. There is no problem. There is no problem on the supply side. There is no problem on the supply side. There is no shortage with God. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory. Moses said to God, Lord, I want you to show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. We pray and ask God to show us his glory. And what we mean is we want a cloud to come over and hover over us. And we want to feel the aura of God's spirit. Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. You know what God said back to him? Young lady, God said back to Moses, he said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass before you. I'm gonna just put your mind in rewind so that you can see everything I've done for you. I'm gonna show you the miracles that you forgot last month. I'm gonna show you what I did for you 5 years ago when you thought the end was there. I'm gonna show you what I did for you 10 years ago when you thought there was no way out. And when you see my goodness, when you see my goodness that I have shown to you, then you'll get a real good glimpse of my glory. Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Why didn't Jesus say, I've prayed for you that your fishing business didn't go down? Why didn't he say, I've prayed for you, Peter, so that your health didn't fail? I've prayed for you that your finances would stay strong. Why didn't Jesus tell him that? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus understood that measure of faith that he had placed in him, if Peter could keep that faith, then all things are possible to them that believe. You got to understand something. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know why God can't be pleased when we don't have faith? It's because everything God does is built on faith.
That's right. That's right.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the worlds were framed. Hey, don't give up, Peter. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. He's able to do. Our God is able to do. Some folks can't do. The banker sometimes shakes his head. Sorry, can't do. The doctor shakes his head. Sorry, can't do. But he is able to. He's able to do. And not only is he able to do, Brother Mike, he's able to do exceeding. You know what that means? He's able to exceed his first doings. If you read the book of Ephesians, you'll find out that this God that we serve is able to exceed his own greatness. He's able to go beyond what he did in creation. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I could preach today. I wish I wasn't so hungry so I could preach a while. He's able to do exceeding. Not only is he able to do exceeding, he's able to do exceeding abundantly. How can you exceed? Exceeding. I'll tell you how you can do it. You can do it abundantly. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Not even that, but above. And not only is he able to do exceeding abundantly above, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask with our mouths. And even when you can't talk, if you can just think it. How is it going to happen? How is he going to do it? I'll tell you how he's going to do it. He's going to do it with what he put in you. Above all that we're even able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is the power that worketh in us? Our power and our ability to believe that all things are possible to them that believe. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the miracle is available. I said the miracle is available. I want to tell you, the answer is available. I want to tell you something else. The supply is available. The prophet Elisha said to the woman, go borrow vessels, not a few. Get every one of them that you can find. Don't limit the miracle worker. Did you hear me? Don't limit the miracle worker. He's ready to do. He's ready to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we're able to ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Don't limit the miracle worker. Give him plenty to work with. I said, give him everything you got. I said, give him everything you've got. Every ounce of your strength, every fiber of your being, every thought of your mind, every word. Woo, hallelujah. Give him something to work with. Give him plenty. Give him plenty to work with. I give you my all. I give you my all, God. I'm not holding back anything. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see. See if there... Borrow as many vessels as you can get. Borrow as many vessels as you can find. Every moment that is not absolutely necessary for your living, for your situation, you need to give it to God. That's a vessel. Huh? Here, God, I've got 30 minutes. I got 30 minutes extra time. You know, I know I'm supposed to be watching the traffic, but it takes me 30 minutes to get to work. And I'm watching traffic, but at the same time, I'm going to just give you a little praise. I'm going to offer you a little praise. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to pray while I drive, okay, God? I'm going to pray while I drive. Now, if I get to praying and I get feeling the Spirit and I get lost in the Spirit and I start crying and I have to pull over, you take care of me, God. If the people next to me in the car beside me, if they see my lips moving and they look at me like I'm crazy, you take care of that too, God, because I'm going to give you what I got. I'm going to let you use this because I'm going to let you use this so I can get the miracle that I need because I don't want the creditors. I don't want the creditors to take my family. You better hear this preacher today. Please hear this preacher today. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on frivolous pursuits while your children are growing. Don't ever let your children say, do I have to go to church tonight? You take them by the hand and say, we're going tonight. And if they have revival tomorrow night, we're going to go there too. Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever church time is, I'm going to put my children in every apostolic activity I can find. I didn't come here to win a popularity contest, so I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. Is it okay? Buckle your seatbelt for a second. I'll try to get off of this in a minute. Buckle your seatbelt. I'm not the pastor. But if you're all jumping up and down on the sidelines at the basketball court while a little junior is 5 years old and 6 years old, then 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, and he's got to be at every game. He's got to be at every activity. And then comes junior prom. Oh God, it got quiet, real quiet. I may not ever get to come back to the new church. Oh, we got to get him a new tuxedo for the prom. We got to get her a new dress for the prom. It don't matter if it's not godly. It's just the prom, you know. It's junior prom. Everybody understands that you don't have to live godly and look godly when you go to the prom. What you're giving your kids? Wake up 20 years later. Children not in church. You barely hanging on by a thread. When you would have started. Started as a child with them, taught them the importance of God's house, God's work, God's people. There's not a teenager in the house that likes me now. He said, borrow as many vessels as you can find. And then when you get all those vessels, he said, you take them in. Go in and shut the door upon you and who? Your sons. You want your children to learn about the miraculous? You want them to see what God can really do? You want them to see a miracle working God work in action? You got to get the door shut. Because I'm going to tell you real quick, as long as you let the door stay open, the creditor, is always going to have an easy in. But there's a miracle that God wants to do for you. There's a blessing that God wants to provide for you. There's a situation that God wants to take care of for you. So take the vessels. Go in and shut the door, because the world don't need to see how God's going to take care of this situation. Shut the door and begin to pour. Oh, that'll rhyme. Shut the door and begin to pour. No, I'm not going to write a song by that title, but that's a good thought. Shut the door and begin to pour. And you pour into every vessel you can find. If it's a salt shaker, take the top off. Fill it with oil. If it's a tomato juice can, wash it out and pour the oil in. If it's a tea pitcher, wait on the tea, leave it gone, and get some oil in there. Every vessel you have, young, old, male, female, rich, poor, whoever you are, get a vessel. Get a vessel. I've already told you there's no problem on the supply side of this deal. Begin to pour out of your supply into the empty vessels. And make sure you get your sons involved. It wouldn't hurt them to get a little anointing oil on their hands. They need to feel what the oil feels like. They need to see what the oil feels like. You get them in that house. You begin to pray over them. You begin to pray with them. Forget this now I lay me down to sleep stuff. Get them in that bed and pray in Jesus' name over them. Pray that God would watch over them. Pray that God would keep them from the creditors. Pray that God would keep them holy, holy and righteous. And let them hear you break out talking in tongues. Over their bodies, over their heads. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying today. It's not too late. I said, it's not too late for you to get a miracle in your house. As long as there was a vessel, the oil continued to flow. The oil didn't stop multiplying. The oil did not stop multiplying until they ran out of vessels. I am so excited for this church. You guys right now in this sanctuary, and I'm sure this is not everybody, this place is 98% full, 99% full right now. You know what? When a church gets to be 85% full, it's too full. It's time to expand. So you know what I'm seeing? I hadn't seen the new auditorium. I don't know how many it'll seat. But all I can think of, hey, these folks are going to go out and find vessels. They're going to be going to find vessels. Where you find vessels? You find vessels in the checkout line. You find vessels in the grocery store. You find vessels while you're getting your car oil changed. You find vessels when you see somebody on the street that needs a helping hand with their automobile. You find vessels when you see some mother trying to take care of three little kids by themselves. You find vessels everywhere. There's vessels everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. It should not take 50 years to fill up this new building. I said it shouldn't take you 50 years to fill up the new sanctuary. About 5 years, you ought to be busting the walls out, looking for a bigger. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Find some vessels. Shall we stand? Shall we stand today? Find some vessels. Because as long as there are vessels, as long as there are vessels, the oil can flow. The oil is a type, a New Testament type of the Holy Ghost. Oil is a New Testament type of the Holy Ghost. The oil in the Old Testament was used for the anointing purposes. And I want to tell all of us here today, if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance, the Holy Ghost is available. It is available today. It is available to fill all of you who are willing to be a vessel. When willing vessels are no longer available, the oil will stop flowing. Day of Pentecost, 3,120 vessels were filled with the Holy Ghost. 5,000 more were added just a few days later in Solomon's porch that surrounded the temple. In Acts 10, the door of salvation was opened to the Gentiles, and the vessels kept being found and filled. I don't know what the date of your conversion was, but whatever date it was, you were another vessel that was found and filled. And the oil just keeps flowing. I said the oil just keeps on flowing to whosoever will, let him come. Ladies and gentlemen, God's power is inexhaustible. There are no limits to his saving and delivering power. God can and God will restore the prodigal sons and daughters. As long as there is a vessel, the oil can flow. Nathanael brought the Apostle Peter to Jesus. Peter brought the gospel to Jerusalem. than to Cornelius and his Gentile household. Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher, Paul the teacher, Paul the missionary who single-handedly carried the gospel to the continent of Asia in a matter of 2 years. As long as there is a vessel, the oil will continue to flow. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Touch my heart and speak through me. If you can use anything, you can use me. I'd like to say.